Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
You know what powers every dream, Lisa?
Tell me.
Take a guess.
Money?
That's close, but it's more accurately payroll. Yeah, from your first paycheck to lifelong security, none of it happens without someone making sure you actually get paid. Wild, right? Behind every payday, there's a professional who makes it happen. A real person, not some magical ATM fairy flinging 20s around. This September 15th to 19th, it's National Payroll Week. Bet you didn't know that. And the National Payroll Institute wants your stories. Maybe it's your first summer job, your maternity leave, or that glorious moment you got paid on time and didn't have to survive on instant noodles. Post your story with hashtag power of payroll and hashtag contest, tag National Payroll Institute, and you could win a $250 prepaid credit card. Plus, for every post with those hashtags, NPI, which is what the cool people call National Payroll Institute. And again, Steve, it's not the porpoise one.
Can it be?
No.
What if the payroll people are interested in porpoises?
They can buy their own ad time on the show.
The porpoise payroll people?
Yeah. Exactly. NPI, National Payroll Institute, donates $1 to Food Banks Canada, up to $25,000. Payroll power is more than just paychecks. It keeps the lights on, literally, including the one over my head right now, actually, and the one beside it. There's about 4 of them over my head, and it keeps them all going.
You've got 4 light money?
There are 4 lights.
This is a big time.
Exactly. Thanks for watching and listening and or listening to Podcast is Broken, a weekly podcast in which we try to make Canadian news and politics a bit more funner. My name is Brittle Star.
My name is Steve Boots, and I think we make it much more fun. Mm.
My name is Lisa, and this week we make it guest-erific.
Ooh. My name's Allison Gill. I don't have anything very clever to say except hello.
Well, that's why we
didn't. Don't worry.
Yeah, exactly. We didn't give you any prep just for that reason. We were hoping.
And none of us could really crack the case of saying hello, so you really got us beat on that one.
Yes.
Hey, listen, by the way, Allison Gill is the kind of resume that makes you wonder what you've been doing with your life. She's a military veteran with a PhD. Get out of town. A formal federal government executive and now the executive producer and host of Mueller, She Wrote, a political podcast that blends sharp analysis with legal insight, all while making you feel smarter for listening. She also co-hosts The Daily Beans, because apparently one top-rated political news podcast isn't enough. Leave some room for the rest of us, Allison, okay? Allison's also a comedian and an author, and she's made it her mission to separate facts from conspiracy theories and maybe convince you to do more than just yell at the news, though yelling's a good start. Allison, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. Thank you. As I said when I had you on the Daily Beans recently to talk about your amazing new book, you are my emotional support Canadian.
See, I like having Americans on the show because they know it's all about the bottom line. Sell books. We're here to sell books, mainly my book.
Chilling like a villain over there.
Chilling like a villain. Hey, listen, I have an uphill battle every week, Allison, with Lisa and Steve, because let's just say, even though I'm only one sandwich away from being communist and gay, they make me look like a right-wing capitalist weirdo. So,
well, now you know how it feels to be American with Canada right there.
But is throwing a sandwich considered subversive?
It is assault with a deli weapon.
I was just making a sub pun.
Oh, very good. Well,
we missed it.
The funniest jokes are the ones that need to be explained. Everyone knows that.
He's the hero we've been waiting for.
For most of you would probably know who are listening and are watching, that Allison is very involved with, let's say, critiquing the current U.S. administration a little bit. in the nicest. Yeah,
go with it.
Some of you may have seen the footage of the fellow that hit the National Guard. Was it the National Guard person that they hit or military?
I think it was FBI.
FBI with a sub sandwich, possibly a cold cut or a turkey breast and bacon. We're not sure. Do we know what kind it was?
Ham sandwich, because we have a saying here in the United States that you can indict a ham sandwich. So I think that that's what it was.
Oh, is that what it was? Wow. There you go. Legal loophole. I like that.
So I worked at Subway for a very long time, and the cold cut combo thing, my favorite was when I worked there and I asked somebody, like, what are the cold cuts in the cold cut combo? And they had to explain, it's just three different kinds of bologna.
Yeah, but that works.
It's like dark pink meat, lighter pink meat, and a
one of them
meat.
Is actually called luncheon meat, or at least it was when I worked there.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
That's always a good sign.
Just the leftover meat.
The less specific your meat is, the better, really.
Man, he just hit him with it and run.
Did he outrun him?
He almost, which was one of the more interesting things about that video. And I did speak. I want everyone to know I spoke to my co-host of a different podcast I do called Cleanup on L45, former Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn, who was among several of my friends who were actually assaulted at the Capitol on January 6th. And he said it's okay to laugh at the sandwich guy.
Excellent.
We've got permission.
Thank goodness.
Because it's funny.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean,
because
it's just all so silly.
Well, he talked about it. He's like, dude, trust me. His coworkers, his law enforcement coworkers are giving him such a hard time on the message boards today. They're coming up with nicknames for him. They're going to call him Captain Mayo from now on. It's
Baloney Boy.
So I've been kind of musing about what his new nickname could be. But that guy, pink shirt, came up, apparently worked at the DOJ, Department of Justice, chucked the sandwich at him, turned around, and ran out of there at top speed, giving chase to these law enforcement officials. And it was just so funny.
What would be, like, for Canadians, what would be the food that we would throw at?
I think it wouldn't be a Subway sandwich. It'd be a Mr. Sub. Submarine sandwich.
You'd still go with the sandwich?
I think it's got velocity, you've got length. I think you could do some damage with a crusty whole wheat.
Yeah, but like you could also embrace Canada's multiculturalism and throw a banh mi at them.
Oh, yeah.
Banh mi.
Mm. Yeah.
I was thinking then butter tart.
But then you're wasting a perfectly good banh mi.
But the butter tart is dense. Like if you get a good butter tart, it's dense, right?
Well, yeah, you could chip a tooth on one of them.
Yeah, totally.
Could you use a bannock? Like maybe like slap someone with bannock?
You could toss.
Or toss it like a deadly frisbee.
Yep.
Yeah.
Beaver tail.
Yeah.
Beaver tail of the head. Yep.
See, this is all stuff.
Poor Allison's like, what?
The Americans should have prepared better.
I know poutine. Like, that's it.
There you go.
That's fair enough. Poutine would work as well.
Basically, every other thing we described was just some form of fried dough.
Yes, pretty much. We enjoy fried dough up here. Keeps us warm in the winter.
Like, beaver tail and bannock are both really just different formats of fried dough.
Yeah, delicious. I introduced at the Canada Day in Trafalgar Square in London, they had an event. They had bannock out on the tables and under one of the tent things. And you could just go up and help yourself to some bannock. And it was good. It was really good. And the cameraman I was working with is from the UK. And he's like, what is this stuff? And I said, it's just fried bread. He put it in his mouth and he went, no. He had like a vile reaction to it.
Maybe it wasn't good bannock. Like, it's UK made bannock, correct?
Yeah, well, the yeast is different.
Okay. But like, can somebody from the UK really turn up their nose at food from anywhere else? This is the place that originated pies and mash.
It's true.
If you can get down a scone, you can get down bannock.
Yeah, exactly.
Have any of you wound up on pie and mash TikTok where like a bunch of people from outside the UK try like traditional pie and mash from like a UK pie store?
It was at this point that I could see in Allison's face that she regretted saying yes to being on the podcast.
Is that like the two kids who listen to like Genesis for the first time and like jam out to it?
No, this is different because they immediately realize that it's horrible. And they're like, why do people eat this?
What is wrong with filling?
It would be like having those two kids like listen to Nickelback.
Yeah, there you go. We don't talk about Nickelback. It's very polarizing in Canada.
Exactly. Yeah, that one splits the room.
Remember the convoy in Ottawa? It was about Nickelback.
Yeah, totally.
Let's get on with the game, all right? By the way, I had a message on Blue Sky, or no, from Twitter, on Twitter from someone who said, just stop it with make it make sense. just stop it. And I said, what would you prefer? And they said, we don't like the weird whose line is it anyways type of scoring. And I just want him to know, this person, I'm sure they're listening this week as well, because I took their comments to heart, and I want them to know that I've deducted 2 points from them.
So, fantastic.
Yeah. Excellent. Way to start the game.
Can those 2 points be removed from Lisa by proxy?
No, we're not doing that because we have a guest, so be nice.
Some great Canadians on Whose Line.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm getting our scoring system ready. For those of you playing at home, of course, what happens is I'm going to give one headline. And this week, this one headline is comprised of four news stories.
Four
news stories. It's up to Alice and Lisa and Steve to tell me what those news stories are. I will award them points for, oh, God, they've all got pens. I will award them points. And
is there a buzz in, Sitch? Or do you just,
it's a Canadian buzzer. Excuse me?
Pardon me. Sorry. Yeah.
Sorry. Got it.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry is your buzzer. That's good. Exactly.
Yeah. If you want to get our attention, you just need to sit there with a quiet look of consternation on your face.
I'm like, oh, what's wrong with Alice? Is she okay?
Are you going to deduct a point for consternation?
No, I'll allow consternation. I think
it's a perfectly cromulent word.
That's it, Steve. You're fucked.
I think I see something.
This is how I get points.
Getting deducted for Simpsons jokes over here.
Are you guys ready to play?
Yes, sir.
Always.
Make it make sense.
Here's the headline. Headline is, Ontario's public servants host 150 Canadians at Woke Free Awards, then take DC police. I'll read it one more time, and you guys can guess which four news stories that headline is comprised of. Ontario's public servants host 150 Canadians at Woke Free Awards, then take DC police.
DC police. That is Trump taking over the DC police, correct?
That's correct. Funny enough.
Woke Free, is that Trump in his Kennedy Center?
Oh, God. We've never had an American on before. They're really good.
Killing me already.
The game's going to be over. The whole episode's going to be done. Okay.
Well, the Ontario Public Servants is Doug Ford forcing them back to the office.
Oh, my God. That's correct. We got one story left.
150 Canadians.
Mm-hmm.
Get off of Google, Steve.
Yeah, get off of Google,
Steve. See it in your glasses.
I'm looking at where I typed up the
question.
The headline.
Yeah, exactly. I'll read the headline one more time. Ready? Here's the headline one more time. Ontario's public servants host 150 Canadians at Woke Free Awards, then take DC police. So you've got Ontario's public servants, you've got Woke Free Awards, you've got DC police.
150 Canadians. Is that the name of Taylor Swift's new album?
If only. We'd be super cool.
How many Canadians we have chosen to offer as a human sacrifice to the Trump administration to try to get a trade deal done.
Well, I was going to say it's 150 Canadians that have been picked up by ICE.
Yes, you are correct.
No way!
That's right, exactly.
And Canada's being super vague about any details about them.
Yes, well, because they're not getting much information. They're not giving much information. Recent data from the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, all the American things have these, like, sort of action movie acronyms.
With background music.
ICE.
Yeah, but Canada can't do that because the acronyms fall apart very quickly once they're bilingual.
Once they go into French, like every one of them's got a dash in it.
Apostrophes.
An accent aigu.
I was going to guess that, but I'm not allowed to speak ill of ICE.
Oh, whoa, God. Well,
don't get us canceled, Allison.
No, we won't get canceled. This will be great ratings. It'll be the end of Allison, though.
Knock on the door. We're never going to know.
I can't go back to Florida. The report shows that nearly 150 Canadians, including two young children, have been detained this year alone. While reasons for detention vary, the rise is largely being attributed to stricter enforcement of immigration policies at the U.S.-Canada border. The situation has prompted consular officials to increase their support for the affected Canadians, highlighting growing tensions over border and immigration issues between the two nations. According to data verified, the number of Canadians detained by ICE in 2025 is back on track to be the highest in a decade. So that's interesting. Highest in a decade. So it happened before, just maybe not as many young toddlers. Less toddlers, probably.
Yeah, I'm curious what happened a decade ago that had so many people getting detained.
Trudeau was elected.
Oh, that'd do it.
That's it. They shut us down.
Sunny Ways, lock them up, folks.
Sunny Ways, exactly. You see that guy's socks? But what's interesting to me, and this is a good question for Allison, is there's, of course, lots of stories in the news about how Canadians traveling to the U.S., or we track it by Canadians returning from the U.S., and how those numbers have dropped significantly in the past 6 months or so. Is there any awareness of that in the States at all?
Like many things that aren't being reported, that, you know, is not really being touted by our mainstream media. But also, we kind of have an administration that doesn't want us to know the real numbers of things. We just hired our Bureau of Labor Statistics person and put in someone who wants to stop putting out monthly job numbers. This goes back to COVID when he said, stop the testing, because if there's no testing, then my numbers won't look bad. So, you know, we're a little bit wary about the statistics that we're even getting from our federal government. But we, you know, those in the know, those that follow the news, we know that. We also know that the number of Americans visiting Canada has gone up, whereas the number of Canadians visiting the United States has basically disappeared. And I've had friends fly in from Canada and say it was a ghost town in customs on the way out. Nobody was coming to the United States. The planes were empty. So I have a pretty good idea of that, but I'm not sure that the rest of the public at large may have an idea of that.
A friend of mine just came back from a trip to Vegas and basically said that everybody who worked in the tourist sector who heard he was Canadian was immediately like, hey, we're real sorry about all of it. just the whole deal. Our bad.
I think every American I've encountered in real life here in Canada has started with an apology. And first of all, I feel like you don't have to apologize for you, obviously. You're fine.
But unless they're an ICE agent, then maybe.
Unless they're not, exactly. If you just barrel out of a windowless Dodge Caravan and try to grab me, then.
Have you one of those buffs or whatever?
Yeah, exactly. And that's a different story. But it is fascinating to me. Like, there's a couple of things. One is, I've heard that many flights down to the US as well, they're just sparser. There's a really good chance you're going to get a row of seats to yourself. And then also, speaking of flights, I got an email from Porter Airlines, which is a Toronto-based airline, and they normally this time of year, and they have been on the backs of back of the Globe and Mail newspaper, promoting trips to Florida. However, they've been positing it or positioning it so that it's great deals on Tampa to Toronto, great deals on Orlando to Toronto. So it's totally being focused to be the other way. Like to get out of Orlando, get out of Tampa, which is fascinating to me. And the other part that was interesting today in the email was the map of their destinations for going south. And that's a big thing, of course, in Canada. And I think, like, Allison, you were originally from Cleveland, so maybe you have the same sort of winter phenomenon of everyone just leaves, basically.
Snowbirds, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. The diagram of the map was showing all the different routes that people take to go to different destinations, they all went around or just zipped right over the U.S. entirely, down to Mexico, down to Costa Rica and all that kind of stuff. And it was fascinating to me. It makes me think that there must be, I don't know how people in the U.S. aren't aware of it now is what I'm trying to say.
I think there's that, but I think we're also very aware that it's a lot less safe to fly in United States airspace these days. So, I mean, South Park hit the nail on the head with their season 27 premiere episode. We've completely slashed our control tower folks, right? So, I mean, I have definitely curbed my flying around the United States. So, it's almost like when you see those planes just completely not land anywhere in the United States, my first thought was, oh, you still got to fly through here, though. But I think maybe you're using your own. No, because it all gets handed off to air traffic controllers, I guess, maybe.
Yeah, when they get close to wherever. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, I don't know. But like when the last vacation I took, I went to TJ to fly out of TJ because we're, in San Diego, 20 minutes from Tijuana.
Right. I'm so glad you explained what TJ was. I was like, I don't know what the hell.
Yeah, all of us were like, TJ. Yes. Good old. But we're like,
let's
TJ.
Rely on Mexico's air traffic control.
Right.
Please. And that's never been a consideration in travel in the United States.
No.
Until now, ever. And everyone's like, nope, I'm just going to, you know, we'll drive, we'll take a train. So there's also that consideration, I think.
My whole thing with the traveling to the U.S. Is that, you know, whenever I bring it up and talk to people and explain, like, the reason we didn't do the book launch in New York is for the fact that it's like it was just an unnecessary risk for me to take for not enough of a payoff to do it, to go down there. And not that I think, again, I always have to explain myself by saying I'm a middle-aged straight white guy. I am probably the safest of the safest of the safest to travel through this thing and to get through the states and have no problems whatsoever.
And that's how they get you.
But that's how they get you.
There's a safer guy. It's a middle-aged white guy that doesn't have any negative things to say about the government on their media sites.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I was going to say as well that I think that we're at the point now where it's, you know, it's the thing of at first they came to get so-and-so and I didn't say anything. It made me think of, like, no one's really panicking yet in mainstream white communities, except they're willing to split hairs down to the fact of, well, like the New Zealand woman recently who was detained by ICE with her 6-year-old son. It's like, but she's European though. You know, she's from like Latvia or something. So that's
Friend Jenna had a problem getting back.
Did she?
To the United States, right? So, and I have a friend, one of my co-hosts, a family member, also was stopped coming into the United States from Canada and has now been barred from visiting the United States for 5 years because she had funny Trump memes on her social media.
And I definitely can't go.
You always have to remember to, when you do, you know, when you take your phone, to make sure that you don't have a bio way to open it, like your face or your thumbprint. Make sure you have your passcode. I almost just said my passcode out loud. it's been a long day. Because that is actually in United States law, that is something that you know that they can't force out of you. That is a piece of knowledge that's protected by the Constitution. But your face, they can just hold your phone to your face and open it. So always make sure if you're traveling to the United States.
God.
Bring your Subway sandwich and
your iPhone too.
Passcode and not your face or your fingerprint to unlock your device. All your devices, by the way.
I mean, we're laughing, but at the same time, it is shocking. Like, to me, it's like, it seems like it's initially seemed like it was overreacting and a little hyperbolic. And now it seems like with stories like you're saying now, like, no, it's starting to creep in. It's a bit of it's the boiling frogs. It seems to be. What is this saying about? Is it a saying about authoritarianism or fascism? It's you know, nothing then all of it and then all at once. Like, they describe lots of things that way.
They call it creep for a reason, right?
Right,
the authoritarian creep.
Yeah, which is terrifying. Are you going to get it fixed?
Could you get on that?
Working on it. That's kind of, you know, what I am out here hoping and trying to do. But it is frightening. Here down in Southern California, we have to get volunteers for the teachers union to guard our safe passage ways to schools so that kids don't feel threatened by ICE agents as they try to make their ways to school. We have 1,000 schools in the district in LA, and we went from 44 safe passages 2 weeks ago. Now we have 100 safe passages for children. Then just when you think about that, like at least twice a day, I step back from the world and go, what? Because it's something that you would see in a Spielberg movie, you know, in 20 years. It's shocking.
Is it ideological or is it all down to money? Meaning, are the people who are joining ICE and stuff? Like, I have an issue with it. I have an understanding of someone who's like, listen, I need money. I need a job, and my family's not eating. Whatever, I got to do this. You're in dire situation. Whatever, so you take whatever job's available to you. Is it just that, or is it ideological? Is it people who are joining ICE going, yeah, I want to be Dean Cain?
I think it's.
Don't we all aspire?
Dean Cain.
To be Dean Cain.
I mean, the big picture is that the Republicans for decades have squeezed the lower and working class and poor people in this country to where they are willing to do something like join the military or join ICE because they, you know, they can't make ends meet.
Hmm.
And so, but I think a lot of it is also what you said, right? Like Dean Cain, yeah, hook ya. There's, and recruiting does that a lot. Like if you read that Corruptible book by Brian Klass, he talks about the ways that we recruit certain people and make these jobs attractive to certain people. Like, yeah, blow stuff up, yeah, America. And you get to carry a big giant gun and nobody's gonna mess with you. I think that that speaks to a lot of people. It reminds me of the speech that was given in the movie American History X, where he's out front of the store talking to these kids who have been bullied and are lonely and don't belong to any groups and women won't talk to them. And it's like, you know, that's the time where you swoop in and get people to join your tribe and join your group and be part of your thing, even no matter what the ideologies are in the group.
Yeah.
They belong. Somebody likes them. Somebody notices them. Somebody sees value in them. And I think that's what we're seeing here is people feel like they're being valued for their hate and their bigotry and their xenophobia. And so they want to belong to a group that kind of, you know, lifts that up for them and makes them feel like they aren't alone. And so I think that's terrifying. But big picture, yeah, the ruling class has long squeezed the lower class and to force them into terrible jobs and horrible labor. And so everybody can become, you know, blood on the cog wheels of progress or whatever. Republicans refer to us as human capital stock. So, I mean, I think it's a combination of both of those things.
Is there any fixing it? Like, seriously, is there any fixing it? Because it's very cultish. It's very much it's like you say, like preying on people who are down and out, who feel like no one's going to talk to them. They don't feel like they belong and all that kind of stuff. And my concern is that it gets very difficult to convince those people to get out of that mindset. Is it only happened when I made sort of passing comments that were kind of jokish comments saying like, it's not going to matter until people go and the Waffle House is closed. When the Waffle House is gone, that's maybe when they'll start paying attention. Is it literally going to take that kind of thing happening?
I think that and what we're seeing with ICE. There's this amazing professor named Jelani Cobb who talked about the back after the Civil War, there was a Fugitive Slave Act that was passed that allowed the federal law enforcement to come in and take you know, black people out of their communities. And the country, the people were very against this. And oftentimes, Professor Cobb's students would say, so these were abolitionists, these were people who were against slavery. And he's like, no, this was everybody. And he said something that really stuck with me. He said, the fundamental unit in our civil society is neighbor. That is the fundamental civic unit. And when you start messing with people's neighbors, that's when people start getting really angry, no matter what side of the aisle you're on. And I think that we're seeing that. I mean, Donald Trump and his immigration policies upside down in the numbers. So he's losing support across the board with all parties because of it. And so that's kind of how, unfortunately, those things have to happen in order to fix it. I wish they didn't. I wish we were more proactive than reactive. But I think when you start messing with people's communities and messing with people's neighbors and their children and their people who work in their neighborhood, work alongside them, that I think that that's when people really start to stand up and take notice.
We saw that though. Remember like when this was first starting and they were showing neighborhoods in Boston where people were coming out and were like, you're not taking my neighbor, right? Mm-hmm. They may hate their neighbor Monday to Friday, but you're not coming and picking them up on a Saturday, right? Like they're still their neighbor. So
happened here a couple blocks from me at Buona Forchetta restaurant where there was an ICE raid and there were flashbang grenades and smoke grenades and kids, people were eating dinner on a Friday night in a neighborhood. And we see it all over the United States now. And I think that might be the way, I mean, I think that might be the final straw. That and everybody's food's about to get really expensive.
It's it reminds me of, there's a scene in the stage production of Cabaret, and it sounds like this. No, I'm not going to sing. I'm just kidding.
The lights dim.
Welcome. You want a little soft shoe at the same time.
This isn't Pippin?
It reminds me, there's a scene in the stage production of Cabaret where they're in the bar, restaurant type thing, and the good guys start singing some fun, happy song, and then the Nazis start singing louder and louder and louder and louder and louder and louder. It's similar to the Casablanca scene. And they eventually, like in the stage production, they had this fantastic staging where they had suddenly people in the audience in the back were standing up singing along to this, you know, Fatherland Nazi tune. And it was unsettling because it gave you a real feeling of like total helplessness of like, I can't personally do anything to stop this whatsoever. And it must be, you know, I think that one thing that Americans are starting to realize now is that that Canadians are upset. They're angry at the threats of annexation and 51st state and all that nonsense, and how they've been betrayed by a seemingly steel metal, I'm trying to think of the word, ironclad, there you go. I was going through the elements.
A steel metal clad
friendship and allyship. And I think there's an anger there, but at the same time, I think there's also a bit of sympathy towards Americans, because I think like it must be heartbreaking. It must be heartbreaking to look at your country and go, what the fuck is happening?
It is. It's, heartbreaking all around. I used to work at the Department of Veterans Affairs, and now it's being gutted. My co-host on another podcast I do called Unjustified, he's the former
director. Good Lord, get at least some for us, Allison.
There's room for everybody. Okay. He's the former deputy director of the FBI, Andrew McCabe. And what is happening to his organization is heartbreaking. And all of the things that kind of we were founded on, like the good stuff after we sorted through all of our awful, horrible histories, some of the good things that were left that we could cling to include, you know, that we didn't want tariff on tea, and we didn't want kings, and we didn't want our, you know, immunity for our presidents. We didn't want ideologues, and, you know, and even those last things feel like they're being stomped out. But, you know, you talk about helplessness, Stuart, for us here in the United States, that's the Supreme Court. There's an old Abbott and Costello bit called Who's on First, right? You all familiar with that?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they always end up on third base because I don't know plays third base. So they're all like, I don't know, third base, right? That happens 20 times in the bit. That's what the Supreme Court is for us. We're like, yeah, we're going to get control of the House. Then we're going to get the Senate. We're going to pass this great voting rights law. But then somebody's going to sue from Kansas. And boop, third base, Supreme Court's going to gut it. Everything that we do, everything that we are, and everything that the president now is allowed to do is all because of this Supreme Court, which, of course, was purchased by billionaires and oligarchs and Nazi paraphernalia collectors. So...
Can we just sidetrack briefly for a second? Because you're referring to the fella who's whatever his name, Elijah or something like that. Is
it? Harlan Crow.
Oh, right. But there's also the dude recently had the Bismarck behind him. Did the picture of him, and he did like a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Explaining the Project 2025 and some podcast he was doing. And it had this ship behind them, and everyone was like, Is that the Bismarck? Is that Hitler's favorite ship that you purchased from Amazon and framed lovingly behind your desk?
Lovingly.
Mm-hmm. Red flags, yeah. Man. Red flags.
Yeah, the dog whistles get louder. The good news is that the Trump administration is working pretty actively to rewrite history, so you're not going to have to worry about any of that wokeness.
That's good.
Problem solved.
Well,
the lobsters.
No, God. Well, let's.
So, how long till book burnings?
Oh, well, I think those are happening somewhere in the middle. Yeah.
They've been happening since Footloose, the movie in 1980. Right.
That noted documentary, Footloose.
Exactly.
If you are an ardent,
there is a time to dance.
If you're an ardent MAGA supporter out there looking for a book to burn, I suggest buying cases and cases of mine. Lessons from Cats for Surviving Fascism, and burn those to your heart's content. There you go. They burn great.
They're very flammable.
They burn far better new.
Oh, you got to get new copies. Exactly.
You don't get a library copy.
Yeah, no, and it's Canadian lumber, so it's like a twofer, right?
Softwood. You can really confuse Americans by calling it inflammable, which means flammable. That would have been great.
Did they unthaw things?
I'll see if I can do the second edition. I'll see how it goes. I'll see if I can get that added to the cover.
Everyone would be like, dang, can't burn it. Mm.
We'll just throw it at people.
All this is making me think of is there's been all sorts of different videos of people trying to like burn flags to try to prove a point about government overreach, and the flags never burn properly because government regulations require them to be fire retardant. It's like, screw you, government.
Government overreach.
Cannot get it to light. Endlessly funny.
I want to take us in a slightly less apocalyptic direction.
Okay,
that's slightly
a good note. Yeah.
Yay, says Allison through tears. The three idiot Canadians are like, oh, it'll never happen to us.
just have a spare room ready for me, guys.
Okay.
I'm in Alberta. Don't come here.
Well, that's a nice way.
Same
it's like
set
a waiting,
of problems.
Yeah.
But it's a waiting pool sort of situation for Allison. She can go from U.S. to Alberta. It's a little bit different, just a tiny little bit. Then go to Saskatchewan. Steve.
I was thinking of Vancouver.
Yeah. 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 You just go to Vancouver, actually.
Well, yeah. You said you're in San Diego?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Saskatchewan weather may not do it for you.
It's not exactly the same. It's not ideal.
Let's talk about how one of the few delights we get is when things go terribly, terribly wrong with the current U.S. administration. And there's a setup that's happening that is going to be, I think, a beautiful, beautiful disaster, which is, of course, the Kennedy Center Awards. And honoring Sylvester Stallone. Okay. The
really?
Rock band. Yeah. The rock band Kiss. Okay.
Oh, God.
And weirdly, Gloria Gaynor, who I think might not know what's happening in the news. The Trump stated that he had rejected several other, quote, liberal artists. It was ending woke political programming at the event. This thing is going to go like, this is one of the few bright spots in this terrible moment in U.S. history, in that we're going to have pictures and video from these types of things. Like when Kid Rock went to the Oval Office, it's the kind of thing, if I wrote it in a script and I gave it to someone, they'd be like, no, this is too clownish. This is too cartoonish version of the U.S.
Okay. But so my real question is he going to go off the dome, or is he going to use a teleprompter? Because Donald Trump speaking from the heart is
there is
riveting. Because you're just like, God, what's he going to say next?
I have two questions. Does Trump know who Gloria Gaynor is?
I think so.
Is she a Trumper?
I don't know. I can honestly, I make the joke that she might not know what's going on in the news, but she might not know what's going on. How old is she? How old is she, Steve?
I am looking her
She's
up right
be
now.
In her 80s.
She is 81.
Oh, well, okay. She should know better.
She's going to change the song. It's like, it's raining heterosexual white men.
I'm trying to find anything at all about her personal politics, and there's not much. Also, George Strait is also being honored at Kennedy Center Honors.
Well, of course.
Yeah. You know who wanted to go there but couldn't go? George Gay. Thank you.
He's in detention right now.
Thank you very much. I think it's going to be
the audience. Like,
who's
going to
be in the audience?
J.D. Vance, Stephen Miller.
He's going to pay people to get on a bunch of planes that will probably crash in the air.
Or on landing.
I don't know. It's so bizarre, though, because you just sort of assume that attaching yourself to Trump would be like a career destroying thing. But there's a whole bunch of big brands who are like closely associating with him now. And it's like,
oh, they're afraid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. True. Well,
Sorry, I was going to say it's going to be interesting because, I mean, obviously there are a lot of, I'm going to say, like entertainment people who are very vocal about their political leaning. And then there's a whole bunch that aren't. So it's going to be interesting to see who's in that audience, right?
So, like, the real question The real question we have to ask is, how long until the UFC hold a fight at the White House?
Oh, he's already planning for our 250th United States nice. Birthday. There's a word for that that Trump is going to have to learn how to say, which will be fun. They're going to have a UFC fight on the lawn. So if you've seen Idiocracy, right? We've got a potential Presidential Medal of Freedom, the highest honor to a civilian, going to Big Balls. A guy named Big Balls. We have our health secretary bloodletting with lampreys.
Oh, my God. Okay?
And we've got a wrestling on the South Lawn. Those are three real things. So Idiocracy has jumped the shark in the United States. We can't even joke about it anymore. We're like, Brando, it's what plants crave. It's so far beyond that. I wish we were watering our crops with Gatorade. I wish that was it, but it's
not.
It's
got what plants need. It's got electrolytes.
That's got, yeah.
Also, apparently the Washington Post is reporting that Tom Cruise was offered the Kennedy Center honors and declined due to scheduling conflicts.
I hope that Tom Cruise was like, I'm sorry, you'll ruin my career. And then I envisioned Donald Trump wearing a Joan Crawford outfit, taking an axe to the Rose Garden, saying, box office poison!
And like, you just know that he politely declined while like backflipping out of a helicopter.
Oh, right, yeah.
Sorry.
I'm very busy.
Yeah, I hope that does not, because they would be really good at creating that visual, if I'm being honest.
We used to have the conversation as like a light conversation, which was started by our youngest son, Gregor. And I won't go into the details about the various characters that he would bring up as just sort of hypothetical situations rather. And, but it would be like, who would you be willing to have your picture taken with? And in 2016, Trump was on the list of people we'd ask the question. I'd be like, nah, I don't think so. And like, even like the sports teams would get asked to go to the White House. And Steve, Lisa, I don't know if you know this or not, but I was invited to the White House once.
Oh, tell us the story.
We need to know.
By the Obamas.
I'm assuming that this was a
dare by the Obamas. Someone had given to the Obamas. Say,
no, like I was assuming it was George steal? W.
W.
It was the Anne Murray appreciation dinner.
Exactly. And they needed me to be there to toast her. No, but I was more than happy to go to the White House in 2016, March 2016. It was a great honor to go there.
Yeah,
exactly. I do every time I mention it. No, the Obamas. I had the limitations. The Obamas that asked me to go, but it was a big honor to go there, especially as like a Canadian who's grown up watching the White House on television and movies and stuff. You see, like, you know, it's just like going to a cool famous place. It's really neat. But I also had a sense of like, this is an important honor to be able to go here. I would not go now, regardless at all. And I think even from 2016 on, and it gets more and more ridiculous when you see who does show up at the White House now.
Mm-hmm. But like, you could get a Big Mac for free, man.
Mm-hmm.
You get all the McDonald's you can eat.
They'd have to have those Febreze plugins at every single outlet in the White House. Like, it's just got to be rank in there. No, thank you.
We went to the 2024 Biden White House Christmas party, and it was a bunch of content creators, media folks and things like that. And we were like, should we write on the last, unroll the toilet paper and write on the last piece, like, fuck you, traitor, and like, roll back up and stick it on there and put post-it notes behind like Obama's portrait, because we knew he was going to stash it in a stairwell, which he has. You know, we were like, let's leave booby traps. And we decided that was probably, we would get arrested, so we didn't. But it was a very wonderful, you know, the holidays, and we were among friends, and Biden was still in the White House, but we knew what was coming. So it was a very bittersweet moment. And I mean, I've been to the White House, you know, 10 times during the Biden administration.
Don't have to brag about that.
Haven't been back. I've been to the White House 10 times.
I believe that's 9 times more than you, Reynolds.
She's an overachiever, as I know, exactly. We've heard.
But no, I mean, when you campaign for people and you raise a lot of money for people, they're very kind to you. So it was very bittersweet. And I used to go to DC, not always to go to the White House, but you know, in DC a lot, once a month at least, here from San Diego. And I haven't been since November of last year, and I miss it. I wish I was there for the sandwich.
Good callback.
I was like, he's on 14 West. Ooh, the Shelly's bathroom is right down the street. Oh my God, he's running.
Oh my God, and it was a meatball sub.
God. I'd love to have seen that.
See, this is why I like having professionals on the show as guests, because they know how to do a callback. They wrap it up with a nice little bow. It's the way to do it. It's the way to do it. Listen, I want to do the scores for the game before we finish up here. Of course, the Make It Make Sense headline game. I do have the scores tabulated. I had someone working on that while we were talking. I'll go over the scores. Are you ready to see who won? Allison got 1 point.
Woo!
Lisa got 2 points. Steve got 1 point, but then got a minus one, I think, for using capriciousness again.
I didn't say capriciousness or capriciousness or
that's
any
minus three.
He said I limited my big wordtitude.
He even got the buzzer for that one. So congratulations, Lisa. You're the winner of the game this week. Oh, that's pretty great.
That's 3-1, Steve.
I've accepted my fate. We're playing on a slanted field, man.
I think it would have been kind of Lisa to let the guest win, but.
Mm-mm. No, never let me win anything.
Yeah, there you go.
I become insufferable.
We understand. We understand each
other. I hope you deduct points for me using the word insufferable.
It's all just as long as we beat Steve. That's really the goal.
Steve okay. And Allison are tied.
If there's one thing they don't want me to experience, it's joy. So yeah, exactly. They make very sure.
It's funnier right. When he's suffering. Yep. Allison, do you have, before we finish the conversation here, there's a couple things that are happening. One for paid subscribers, we have an improvised theme song, in which case you can just sit there horrified or you can join in. It's up to you.
I'll join in. I love improv songs.
Amazing. Well, the songs are less, it's more of the instrumentation that's improvised.
I have awards for my...
Oh my God.
Can we cut her feed?
We invited her.
So, and we've got that, and we've got, and then the regular listeners get to enjoy a little, you know, nice little tidy bow at the end here as well. And that is, I would like you, if you had do you have a message for Canadians, like from Americans, or you as American?
We're sorry, you know.
That's our line.
It is our line. You even kind of said it like us.
Yeah.
Wasn't sorry.
Down. Yeah.
We're sorry.
We can do it in like San Bernardino. We're like so sorry.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh my God. You don't even know how sorry we are.
Gag me with a spoon. We're sorry.
Yeah, that's good. I like it. I love that movie, Valley Girl. It was so good.
Oh, right. Oh,
Nicolas Cage, right? Is that right?
I like when he's a vampire, that movie.
Oh, yeah. That was good times. So before we wrap up, a reminder, payroll is the thing keeping this whole dreaming big business alive. From your very first paycheck to lifelong security, there's always a payroll pro making it happen. And they deserve some love, don't they? Don't they,
absolutely.
Steve? Don't they, Lisa?
Absolutely.
Yeah. National Payroll Week is September 15th to 19th, and the National Payroll Institute, not the National Porpoise Institute, often confused, never imitated. I don't know how to make that make sense. Wants your stories. The National Payroll Institute wants your stories. Maybe it was a first job, a leave you planned for, or just that one Friday you weren't living on borrowed coffee and good intentions. Post your story with hashtag power of payroll and hashtag contest. Tag the National Payroll Institute, which is just National Payroll Inst, and you could win a $250 prepaid credit card. Plus, every post sends $1 to Food Banks Canada, up to $25,000. So share your payroll story, because getting paid matters. Don't talk to Steve and Lisa about getting paid for the show. They don't get paid for the show yet. Without it, this podcast would be just called Podcast Is Not Happening.
Podcast is
and
broke.
None of us want that. Podcast is broke. We could even afford the N. It would just be broke. Exactly. Hey, listen, thanks for watching and or listening to Podcast Is Broken. You can find us at brittlestar.com or your favorite podcasting platform. If you're a paid subscriber, get ready. Holy hell, it's going to be good. It's a borderless, it's improvised Podcast Is Broken theme song without borders. It's like Doctors Without Borders, but way less important. Stick around. Otherwise, we'll talk to you guys later. Thanks so much, Allison, for being on the show. We greatly appreciate it. Don't go anywhere, though, because you're sticking around for the improvised theme song.
But, okay, I have a line. I have my line already, actually. I'm ready.
Oh, my God. You got a line.
Amazing.
God, Americans. I'm telling you this. Give them an inch. Give them a centimeter, and they take an inch. Thanks, everyone. Take care.
Take care of yourselves.
Bye, everybody.
You can find past episodes and more at podcastisbroken.ca or your favorite podcast platform.